Okay, ladies and gentlemen, last week we spoke about the question of gerus, which for a male involves both mila and tevila, right? For a male, gerus involves circumcision and going into the mikvah. Of course, there's also kabbalas al mitzvos, the acceptance of mitzvos, that's a requirement in gerus. But mila and tefila is certainly the main part. And last week we discussed whether mila and tefila are co-requisites, right? Do I assume that in order to become Jewish, you need the component of mila and the component of tefila, and they both make me Jewish? Or maybe I say that fundamentally I only become Jewish through the tefila. Maybe fundamentally men and women become Jewish the same way, like you go to the mikvah. Mila is a necessary prerequisite. In order to become Jewish through gerus, through blah, 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 through tevila, I need to first have a mila which cuts away the goyishness that I had beforehand. That's what we spoke about last week. Tonight we want to develop the idea a little bit further. This will not be practical halacha. First of all, most of us are not at the stage of gerus where we are between circumcision and going to the mikvah, right? Most of us are not at that stage. The fact is that as a matter of halacha, it's pretty clear. The first line here is what the Rambam says: Ger shemol v'lo tava tava v'lo mal eino ger acheyim v'yitbol. Basic, right? Halacha. Nothing to talk about. You're not Jewish until you go through both. That means after circumcision, before you go to the mikvah, you are
in limbo.
A goy. Oh, okay. You are a goy. Eino ger. You are in gansin goyish. Right? That is the simple halacha, that you are not Jewish at all. However, there was a whole literature that developed about the possibility that maybe going through mila before tevila makes you what we would call half a Jew. There was a huge literature that developed that you are partially Jewish after circumcision before going to the mikvah. And we want to focus on this literature tonight because it's interesting. Now, obviously, this literature only makes sense based on what we said last week from the Zecher Yitzchak, from the Itzel Aponovicher. This only makes sense if I'm working within the Ramban's frame of reference. According to the Ramban, Mila and Tevila are two components to make me Jewish. And therefore, I could reverse the order. I could do Tevila before Mila. I could reverse the order. They're both components to make me Jewish. So therefore, I could argue, you know what, maybe if I have one component, not the other, I'm a 50% Jew. And then we'd have to analyze, well, what does it mean to be 50% Jewish? Right? The Ma'naf Gemina, or are there any halachic implications of being half a Jew? I always imagine this would be amazing. As a kid, I used to like have dreams about this, no? That like, yeah, maybe I'm Jewish every other week. Like, someone once wrote an article in the Jewish Week about how she and her husband were like debating whether they should keep Shabbat or not, and they basically decided for the one week on, one week off approach. By the way, that is the worst possible education you could give your kids.
That will make you crazy.
FYI, it's kind of nuts. But I always imagine that like maybe there's a possibility of like being in this no man's land, and the Achronim discuss it, and what we'll try to do is focus on this. It's not really practical. It's a matter of practical halacha we know. You're not Jewish unless you have both Mila and Tevila. But conceptually, one could argue that there is a concept of a half-Jew. When we spoke about this one year just briefly on Shavuos, so Megillas Rus, what's really interesting is that the beginning of the Megillah speaks about how Machlon and Chilion vayisulahem noshim mo'aviyos, they married these Moabite women. That means that Ruth is non-Jewish, and all of Megillas Ruth is about how Ruth converts to Judaism, right? That is one of the basic things they teach us in grade school. On the other hand, right, Megillas Ruth also tells us a story about how Boaz, the relative, is supposed to marry Ruth. And that marriage is some sort of yibum, no? Isn't that like what they tell us in grade school also?
Yep.
Well, I don't understand. Whoa, fuzzy math. Fuzzy math, this doesn't make sense anymore. Because, one second, if she wasn't Jewish, to begin with, so then why on earth would Boaz have to marry her? Why do you have to marry, pardon the expression, the shiksa wife of, right? That don't make no sense. And if she just converted now, so she's converted to Judaism now, why do they have to marry her? Right? The marriage that Boaz is doing is because there's some prior family relationship over here, no? Right? Isn't this like troubling? Like the whole Megillah Esther, like,
yeah, why did we never think of this before?
Right, you read it and you pull out your hair. Like this don't, if you have hair still, you pull it out. This don't make sense. What?
He has brand new family connections, right?
Yeah, so what's going on? So the answer that's usually given in conceptual terms about Megillah Esther is that, yeah, there's Geirus, but not complete Geirus, partial Geirus. It's not that Machlon and Chilion married actual non-Jewish women. They became partially Jewish, and that's enough for Yibum, but it's not enough for other dinim of Yahadus, and that's why Rus is converting again. Well, that's really, that's the Shavuos angle of this, but that's the question also, same thing that we're discussing tonight, of a partial Jew. Half Jew, half Geirus, part Jew, that's what we're going to be discussing, and there's a few, but yeah.
How could a woman, though, be part Jew, because we're discussing not all mitzvahs, but we're discussing Mila.
Okay, so good question. So the answer might be something that we began talking about a few weeks ago. But if I convert to Judaism, not out of sincerity, I convert because I want to marry a guy. So the Rambam has like an interesting expression, which is that we wait on you to see whether you're sincere. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens in that interim time period? Mm-hmm. So it could be, right, that's precisely our half-Jewish concept. Again, this is theoretical, conceptual. As a matter of practical halacha, it requires much, much, much more analysis. We're not talking practical halacha tonight. Tonight is for fun. Right, yeah.
The thing is, what you said about Yibum and all that, wait a minute, why does he have to do that at all? And I'm saying, why didn't I think of this before, like 50 years ago or something? But the thing is, I just realized that it never tells you anywhere in the Book of Ruth that she converted. So if they don't tell you that she converted before she married him,
okay,
then they didn't tell you that she didn't convert.
But it doesn't say that she converted. Yet at the same time, right? Ba'asher telechi eleichu ba'asher talini alin ameich ami ve'lohayich elohai. Right? That is the classic line of conversion. I'm converting because I love the Jewish people. I'm converting because I love the Jewish God. This is it. That summarizes everything we have been discussing the last month and we'll be discussing until we get tired. Right? That is it. So the Book of Ruth is about conversion.
No, but I'm saying it doesn't tell you when she converted.
Yes, correct. But it's clearly when she's with Naomi on the way back after hubby died.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Now, okay, we got to move on. Once upon a time, I mentioned earlier that I'm going to be on vacation next week. Well, once upon a time, there was another rabbi who went on vacation, Rabbi Shmuel Salant. He was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim for some 70 years or something. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Shmuel Salant was the Rebbe of Yerushalayim for an awfully long time. And he went on vacation one time. Apparently he went to raise some money for the Yishuv. It wasn't like much of a vacation. He wasn't going to California or anything. He went to raise a few bucks. So Rabbi Shmuel Salant, when he goes on vacation, his assistant rabbi, whose name was Reb Usher Lemel, I underlined his name here in the Binyan Siyan. Okay? What we are going to be analyzing the next little bit is a tshuva of the Binyan Siyan. The Binyan Siyan is written by Reb Yaakov Ettlinger, who was the Rebbe who, according to tradition, gave smicha. There are two people who gave Rabbiner her smicha, according to tradition. Reb Yaakov Ettlinger and Chacham Isaac Bernays. Right? He was the rabbi of Aku, which is Altoona, Hamburg, and something. I forgot. The third community. But Reb Yaakov Ettlinger and the Chuvas Binyan...
Waldbeck.
What? Waldbeck, something like that. Yeah, Waldbeck. That's right. So Reb Yaakov Ettlinger and the Chuvas Binyan Sion has a tshuva written to Reb Usher Lemel. Right? That's how you underline his name. Reb Usher Lemel was the assistant rabbi in Yerushalayim in 1848 when Reb Shmuel Salant went on vacation. And the story that happened when Reb Shmuel Salant went on vacation and assistant rabbi Reb Usher Lemel is in charge, let's just read the story inside. This is like a classic. Kasa malas kvo taraso nero ya'ir v'zela shalno. Right, we're beginning from the second paragraph. The tshuva is written in Altona, right? Yilamdeinu rabbeinu. Teach us our teacher. Bu'uvda da'asali yadan. Po ir ha'kodesh Yerushalayim tibaneh v'tikonein. Right, the episode that happened in Yerushalayim, that should be rebuilt, on Tuesday, the 23rd day of Adar Sheni, the year 1848. Nimol eino Yehudi echad sheba heina mimedinas Morocco. Right? There is a non-Jew from Morocco who was circumcised. L'shem geirus. For conversion. Bifaneinu bezdin tzedek the kahal ashkenazim Hashem yishmarein v'yatzileim. Right? Converted in the presence of with the meal of the circumcision for conversion in the presence of the bezdin of the Ashkenazim in Jerusalem. V'kibel alav ha-mitzvos kidin u'kidin taraseinu ha-kidosha. And he accepted the mitzvahs according to halacha. U'b'shabes kodesh ha-acharav adayin lo hayon nisrapei mimilaso v'lo taval odena. Right? So the next Shabbos, he converted on the Tuesday, had his milah on Tuesday. The Shabbos afterwards, the milah had not yet healed. And you don't go to the mikvah until the milah has healed. Both for halachic reasons, we don't want to torture you, and for practical reasons, we don't want to torture you, right? So he didn't go to the mikvah. So he gidu li leimar. So they come and they tell me, I, Usher Lemel, they tell me, mi zrizaso b'mitzvos eichu nuzhar b'shvisas Shabbos hagashu odenu b'chalchola she'im bo sakona. Eino meiniach l'goy l'havir esh b'veso. They come and they tell me, right, the story happened mincha time on Shabbos. They come and they tell me, you should know this guy from Morocco, Azat Tzaddik. He's still sick from the milah, and he's not letting a goy light the fire for him on Shabbos to warm him up, because he's a tzaddik. He's keeping halacha. He very righteous man. Ve'ishavti lahem. I responded, l'da'ati, according to my opinion. Not only is this fellow allowed to violate Shabbos, ela afilo mechuyavu muzhar al yom v'laylo lo yishposu v'chayev lasos melocha b'Shabbos kol zman shelo toval l'shem geirus. Says Reb Usher Lemel, I sent a message to the fellow. Not only are you allowed to violate Shabbos, you have to do so. You're obligated to be Mechalal Shabbos. You see, the Gemara has a rule in Sanhedrin. Goy Sheshavas, Chayiv Misa. No? Shabbos is Oishi Beinu Beinechem. Shabbos is a special sign. It's a covenant between the Jewish people and God. And the Gemara, or excuse me, the Medrash, I give you the Medrash Devarim Rab on the next page. The Medrash tells you that if the king is there with his matron and they're in the bedroom and they are getting all lovey-dovey and someone else comes and intrudes, what happens to that person? Right? What they do in ISIS. Right? That's what happens to you. Right? They're good at it, by the way. No. Huh? So that's what the Medrash says? So, what's going on here? Says Reb Usher Lemel, right, they tell me that this guy doesn't want even the goy should light the fire for him on Shabbos. I send a message back. I say, Sir Moroccan, right, guy from Morocco, you already have milah, but you're not Jewish yet, because mol v'lo tava, you're not Jewish. And not only do you not have to keep Shabbos, you're obligated to violate Shabbos because Goy Shabbos Chayiv Misa. You're obligated to desecrate Shabbos. And He tells the story. Ve'ko asu hashomim l'mishmati, and those who listened to me, this is what they did. Halku etzo hageyar, they went to the convert, the Moroccan convert. V'higidu lo b'shmi kein b'shabbos kodesh achat tfilas ha-mincha. They told him on Shabbos after mincha. Isn't this a great story? They tell him v'chein asa, and this is what he did. Ki kasav eza osios. He took out a pen and chateh geshribin. He wrote a few letters. He wrote Eza Oisius, he wrote a few letters, at least two. Vayhi b'yom ha-macharas kavshen nishma ha-dover b'yarakodesh tibonim tikonein po. And the next day, when they heard this episode, that this fellow wrote letters, because I said, you're not Jewish, you have to violate Shabbos. Savchu alai chachmei svarad v'chachmei ashkenazim. Hashem yishmerei b'yatzilayim. This is very interesting. He says, God should protect all those who are screaming at me. Right? He says, right? They screamed at me. And they said, Advar chadash halazua shelo nishma me'olam acharei shekvar kibeo lavkoa mitzot b'shat mila u'kvar nimo v'omir u'mtsafe b'chol yom litbog sheyisrape sheyiyah mutol l'chalel v'koshin sheyolav chiyuva u'mitzol l'chalel Shabbos. And they remember many people converted and they never heard that anyone told them they have to be Mechalel Shabbos. You should know, for people involved in the process of conversion, one of the most difficult things to do is to do one little action to show that you're not keeping Shabbos, no? They tell the joke about the guy. They say, you know, sir, you have to break Shabbos. He says, I did break Shabbos. What did you do? Right? So he says, oh, you know, I went outside and I carried. They say, but there's an Erev. He goes, I don't talk like the Erev. Right.
That's a great one.
So,
I don't know about that Erev.
There is a certain amount of...
That's a great one.
There is a certain amount of truth to this idea, which is today, when we tell the... Ger to be Mechalel Shabbos. And again, I'm talking about someone who has not yet done anything in conversion. Unlike our case here, of Reb Asher Lemel's case, where the fellow went through Mila but not yet Tevila, but for us the issue is someone who has not yet done anything for conversion, but Zasiri is almost Jew. So we tell them, oh, we want you to do a certain action to be Mechalel Shabbos. It's a discussion in postgame exactly what you have to do. This halach of Geisha Shabbos Chayiv Misa, Reb Yaakov Ettlinger himself, the last line of his tshuva. Let's skip to the last line over here. He writes, actually the last four lines, V'im tzadakti b'mesha katavti. Right, if I'm right about that which I wrote somewhere else. Shetzivu yishvisas Yisroel v'azhar shvisas b'nei Noach eino me'inyin echad. That the way Jews... Right, that the halacha of Jews to keep Shabbos and the halacha that Goyim are forbidden to keep Shabbos are not the same. Shebozet toloi b'lametes melachos, ubozet toloi b'meleches torech v'yegia. Right, for a Jew, keeping Shabbos means don't do lametes melachos. Right, now some of the melachos on Shabbos are not particularly, there's no exertion involved. Right, how much exertion is there to carry a feather? Tachlis. Right? Not so much. To carry a feather. There's no exertion, but that's violating Shabbos if you carry a feather without outside of an Erev, right? But for a goy, when we say a goy sheshavas chayiv miso, that means that the goy has to exert himself on Shabbos. Now, I should point out that Rashi there in Sanhedrin Nuntes understands that goy sheshavas chayiv miso is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants goyim to work. Menucha ba'alma ka'asar lahu. You know, they speak about the Protestant work ethic. And Rashi is really hitting at that, no? Rashi is saying that the halacha is that goyim are not allowed to take a day off. They have to constantly work, right? Well, I used to joke that some people used to say that's a shver sezayin yid. It's difficult to be Jewish, no? Reb Moshe Feinstein, another gedolim, didn't like that expression because we want to educate people that Judaism is beautiful. I don't want to say it's difficult. But according to this Rashi, it's not Shver Sezayin a year. Jews at least get time off. So Shver Sezayin a goy. Right? Because if you're a goy, you don't get any time off. Now, according to Rashi, the idea of Goy Shabbos Chayiv Misa is that we want you to be constantly productive. Don't take any time off. And the approach of the Binyan Siyom, that Goy Shabbos Chayiv Misa can be accomplished through tircha, through exertion, even though it's not technically one of the 39 malachos, is modeled after that Rashi. The Rambam in Perek Yud of Hilchos Malachim is a different take in Gosh Shavs Chayim. According to the Rambam, is a conceptual idea that he can't be mechadish das la'atzmo. You can't invent your own religion. We might come back to this Rambam later on, but according to the Rambam, there's no indication that has anything to do with exertion. There are other suggestions that Poskim make about what a non-Jew should do that would be a violation of Shabbos from the Goyish perspective, but from the Jewish perspective, it's still called keeping Shabbos. The best suggestion, which I like, is that you should wear tzitzis outside of the Erev. Because if you're Jewish, so the strings are buttled to the beged, and you're not carrying. If you're non-Jewish, you're carrying these strings. Right? There are other suggestions. The Chassam Sofer's Rebbe. That suggestion is said in the name of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer's Rebbe.
People will think you're Jewish.
Okay.
You're not yet Jewish.
Okay.
That's not exertion.
Okay. Again, if you hold, exertion is one approach, another approach is wearing tzitzis. We tried to come up with approaches. What should you do to, on the one hand, to have your cake and eat it, to violate Shabbos from the Goyish perspective and to be keeping Shabbos from the Jewish perspective? So we said one approach of Yaakov Ettlinger, that exertion, the approach of tzitzis, that we quote from the Chassam Sofer. There's a third, the Maram Shik quotes that from the Chassam Sofer. So most assume that we do not, this fellow wrote a letter in the case, but most assume that what we try to encourage someone to do is an activity that would be a violation of Shabbos for Goyim, but not for Jews. Because people don't want to really violate Shabbos. Another option that's given, which I think is very interesting, is as follows. Halacha, halachic day, begins at night and continues until through the next day, right? We begin Shabbos Friday night, and we continue Shabbos all day Saturday until Saturday night. By Goyim, it could be that the halachic day begins in the morning and continues until through the next night, right? Until the next morning. If that's the case, so then maybe what you could do to violate Shabbos from a Goyish perspective, that's not a violation of Shabbos from a Jewish perspective, is you do Malacha Matzah Shabbos. No? That's the chat. Reb Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, who was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, had this idea. Okay, so let's just review. Yeah, orally.
Is there any discussion about the steep learning curve of when somebody starts keeping Shabbos?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that as we move on. In other words, you're saying that you can't go from 0 to 100, right? It's not possible. So, and generally what we do is, and people in the process of converting, we encourage them to keep Shabbos. Again, maybe with like one little action of Chilul Shabbos to maintain their Goyishness. But we don't want to do full Chilul Shabbos like we're saying. Now,
according to Rashi, would it be a violation for any Goy to keep Sunday?
So the Rambam, the Gemara says that even Sunday is going to be also. The Rambam quotes that Rashi's explanation may or may not fit in with that. It requires a little more thought. The Gemara does say, I feel Echa B'Shabbos is also, yeah.
The Talmud Torah also is Chayavisa.
We'll talk about that, yeah. We'll get there. All right. How are you allowed to teach someone for conversion if non-Jews are not allowed to study Torah, right? Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morasha Kilas Yaakov.
Why does it say Kilah?
That's interesting, because that seems to go... I mean, once they convert. Okay, now, so 1848, during the month of Adar Sheni, this Moroccan had Mila Nat Tevila. Rabbi Usher Lemel says, be Mechal al Shabbos. Right, he goes, he writes two letters. So then they ask Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, Rebbe, was this correct or incorrect? So Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger says, you know what? I think that what Rabbi Usher Lemel told him to do was dead wrong. Dead wrong. Why? He begins the tshuva by saying, listen, it seems to be based on sound halachic principles. On the one hand, you're not Jewish until you have Mila and Tevila. And also we know that Goyish Shabbos Chayiv Misa, it's like 1 plus 1, very simple, not even fuzzy math, it works out. But Says Rabbi Akiva Etlinger, very interesting. I investigated all places where they accept gerim. Did they not accept gerim in Germany in those years?
There's a famous gerim,
the Ger Tzedek.
He was a nobleman.
There was a Ger Tzedek. And did they accept gerim in Germany? I don't know. You get the impression from the way Rabbi Akiva Etlinger writes. So let me read.
It was against the civil law, though.
It was against civil law
to convert from Christianity or Islam.
Okay. But look at the way he writes it. Again, I didn't have a chance to look up the historical elements. In the second line of the bottom paragraph on the first page, Chakarti b'sha'ar mekomot she'mekablon gerim. I investigated in other places where they accept gerim. No? V'ne'mar li, it was told me, she'gam sham me'olam lo hekpidu al zeh, that no one ever was... careful to make sure that your Mechal Shabbos between Mila and Tevila. So he says, okay, so the minig is that we don't tell this person. This isn't the first time. Remember, there's always going to be some time lag between the Mila and the Tevila. This isn't the first time that happened. And how come no one ever says you should be Mechal Shabbos? V'nosati oli bilum to tamluzeh acharei shalacha ora psak malas kvot teroso nero yoyim musad al adnei hadin ve'emes. Right, I decided to investigate why this would be true. How come the minhag is that not Mechal Shabbos? If it seems that what Reb Asher Lemel is saying is very logical, aval es atmi ra'isi shadinim haminhag. Now I see that the halacha is with the practice. Dikvar mitzad hasra yia misnagel haseicha achay shemir segin nikra bris shemavarchem alav koris habris kedaminan in Shabbos began Shabbos nikra bris kedaminan sham. Very interesting idea. He says, one second. Mila, circumcision is a covenant. Yeah, you have to say this with a British accent. The word covenant sounds so much cooler than like Lord Jonathan Sacks says it. No? But Mila is a covenant. Shabbos is a covenant. How could it be that you entered the covenant and you are... It don't work like that.
What doesn't...
How could it be that you already had Mila, which means that you have entered the covenant of the Jews? Mila is a bris. When I give the Mila for a ger, I make a bracha koreis habris. It's a covenant. And Shabbos is a bris. So if Mila is a bris and Shabbos is a bris, once you have Mila, you can keep Shabbos. Now, the amazing thing that Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger is saying, and if I understand him properly, right, he says this, is, you know what? Ger shemov lo taval, you're a goy. But you're a goy shenichnas lebris. You're a goy who already entered the covenant. So therefore, for 612 mitzvahs, bistu a goy. There's one mitzvah that you're Jewish for. Shabbos. You're Jewish for Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos is a bris, Mila is a bris. Right? Only for bris things are you Jewish. For everything else, you're a goy, no?
Until you go to the mikvah.
And that's why he writes it. Until you go to the mikvah. The mila means I'm not a goy. Right? I might not be a full-fledged Jew yet, but I entered the bris. Therefore, it's a special halacha, just bris. That's what Yaakov Etlinger is saying.
The Rambam there in the brings that everyone got a bris after the
Kasabagram.
Right.
After what?
A little too much.
So it's a little... It's all interesting. But that's what he says? Yeah.
Couldn't you suggest a parallel between this and Chassan, who's like between Eros and Kedushin? Also, it's like a half marriage. In other words, he's forbidden...
So Erosin is... And without Nisuin is very interesting. Erusin basically means that you're forbidden on the entire world. Stage one of marriage is, okay, sir, you know who you can be with? Absolutely no one. Right? Ash, what?
It's on the woman.
The isser is on the woman. Right. Okay, the woman could be with absolutely no one. Right? Asher asalanu ha'arusais. There's an isser of arusa. Nisuin is a matir. Erusin is an oser. Right? Erusin says that, you know, you're more oser than everyone else. Nisuin is the matter. So it is like, somewhat of a parallel, but I don't think it's exactly parallel. But what we have over here is Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger is saying, you know what, Mila without Tevila, keep Shabbos. Special halacha in Shabbos. He continues later on in the tshuva. Here, continue down. It says Vihine b'Shabbos daf pei zayin. There's like a period. It's like 10 lines up. Mm-hmm. 11 lines on the bottom. Probably 11 lines on the top also, if I count. Vihine b'Shabbos pei zayin. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos that the Jewish people were commanded to observe Shabbos in a place called Mara. And the Pesukim say that they kept Shabbos before they came to Har Sinai. Now, at that point in Jewish history, what did the Jewish people have? They did not yet have Tevila, because the Tevila took place, Chazal say, at what?
Mun.
They have the Mun, correct. But how Jewish were the Jews? When did we become Jewish? So we became Jewish when we stood at Har Sinai. At this point, when we started keeping Shabbos, we were not yet on Har Sinai, but we started keeping Shabbos. Now, we had Mila in Egypt. The Tevila, the circumcision, the immersion in the mikvah happened when we stood at Har Sinai. I don't know exactly where this mikvah was.
No,
it's
the same.
The days before
Matar,
that they were supposed to wash themselves.
They washed themselves. Where?
The Yamsa.
They walked through dry land, and that was a while ago. That was like 40, right? That was a while ago. It was 40 days ago or something.
They found a wadi.
I guess so. Something. But the fact is, the Jewish people at Mura, when they first kept Shabbos, they had Mila but not Tevila, says Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger. And they kept Shabbos. This teaches me that Mila without Tevila suffices for Shabbos. That's what I learned from the Shabbos of Mara. That's what he proves in that section that begins, Vihine b'Shabbos daf pei zayin.
What did Yeshua do?
Yeshua, this was for those Jews who were born in the desert.
So what is Shuv?
The second time that there was a public Mila. Yeah. Okay. Now, interestingly, this proof from Mara can be questioned. There's a sefer, the Tzitz HaKodesh. The Tzitz HaKodesh was written by Reb Yeshua Tzvi Hersh Michal Shapiro. He was a Rav in Yerushalayim, a contemporary of Reb Shua Leib Diskin and Rav Kook. He was a Goyin Olam. He passed away relatively young. He gave all of his ksavim to Reb Yaakov Moshe Charlap, to Rav Kook's confidant. And Reb Yaakov Moshe Charlap put out the Sefer Tzitz HaKodesh. It's a lovely Sefer. It's really a beautiful, beautiful Sefer. So the Tzitz HaKodesh, he has a whole essay about a ger shamov al tavah, keeping Shabbos. And he quotes a proof of Mara. He says, Mara is not a proof of anything. You see, if I'm movel or tovel when I should be tovel, then there's a chisaron, then there's something lacking in my geiros. But if I'm movel or tovel before there's a command to be tovel, so then there's nothing lacking in my geiros. Right? The commandment to immerse in the mikvah is only when they stood at Sinai. That's his way out of this proof.
Why did they have the status of geiros? They were children of Jews.
Well, no one was Jewish until they stood at Har Sinai.
So what type of Jew was Avram Avinu?
Again, that's like the million-dollar question. We don't have time to analyze that now. There are other ways of rejecting this. If you look in the Tshuvas L'Horus Nosson in Chelak Asim and Lamed Ches, he has a rejection, basically, that the type of Shabbos that the Jews kept at Mara was not Shabbos that involved any prohibitions. Shabbos at Mara was just a designated day, that Saturday is special. But there were no prohibitions of Shabbos involved. If that's the case, so then we can't derive anything from Shabbos at Mara, because Shabbos at Mara is a different type of Shabbos. Now, the basic approach that we've said until now, of Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger's approach, is that Gersha Movalo Tova, that Mila makes you be allowed to keep Shabbos. It happens that there's a few sources that are even bolder and say you don't even need Mila to keep Shabbos. Look at the Medrash in Devarim Rabbah. Amr Rabbi Shua ben Chanina, Ove Kochavim Sheshamar Es HaShabbos, Ad Shelo Kibel Olav Es HaMila Chayiv Misa. Look at that lashon. Right? The Medrash says, if you keep Shabbos, before you decide to do Mila, then you Chayiv Misa. Once you decide to do Mila, I didn't do no Mila, I didn't go under the knife. Right? But I am not Chayiv Misa. It's Kibel Olav Es HaMila. The same idea is in the Tosfos Yeshanim in Yevamos, the Yeshanim says, "Kevin the Daitol Hiskayem Atzilashbos." Right, when you have in mind intention to convert, then you can keep Shabbos. You don't need actual keeping of Mila. You don't need practical Mila. All you need is the intention to do Mila. Sefer Chasidim. Sefer Chasidim is a classical work. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid died in the 1240s. I'm losing my mind. That's okay, it's good. I'm not going to be in jeopardy. But the fact is, also, like, none of the things that I know would ever be categorized. I'll take Sefer Chasidim for 600. No, thank you very much. Doesn't work. All right. But the fact is, Ger Shabbala Hiskayer, Ukva Kiba Olav Kolha Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs Ese Lassos, Ukho Mitzvahs Losa Se Shalol Lassos, Umavake Shiamulo also. Sefer Chasidim speaks about someone who accepted mitzvahs and wants a mila. And there's someone who's giving him trey food. He says, oh, he's goyish. Because he didn't, right? So you want to give him trey food. Right? He says, I understand that you're allowed to give treif meat to a guy. But this guy accepted the mitzvahs. How can you give him the best and treifus? Meaning, once I make a decision to accept mitzvahs, according to the Sefer Chasidim, you can't give the person trey food. So this is a third example of the extreme view, right? Which is not even the most extreme view. The extreme view that you become obligated in Shabbos once you accept to get Mila, or you accept the mitzvah, so you become obligated in Shabbos. That's already a wild idea. Sefer Chasidim is saying it even. Okay, fine. Now, the Rashba has the most striking formulation. Rabbi Solomon ibn Adar died in the year 1310. No one knows when he was born, because when he was born, he wasn't called the Rashba. The Rashba writes in Yevamos on Daf Ayin Aleph that someone who had Mila and not Tevila, you had circumcision, then you didn't go to the mikveh yet. Afal pi shelo nigmar geiruso, the conversion is not completed. Mikol makom kvar hischil v'nichnechts ktsas b'das Yehudas. The Rashba, this is Reb Yechiel Michal Tikachinsky's Rashba. When this episode happened in Yerushalayim, so it was discussed for many, many years. Reb Yechiel Michal Tikachinsky wrote a small essay about on the episode in Yerushalayim through Basher Lemel, and he says, but the Rashba writes that you are partially Jewish once you have Mila. Right? In other words, it's not just that you keep Shabbos. Nichnas ktsas b'das Yehudas. The expression of the Rashba is that you enter Judaism a little bit. That is the most striking formulation in this entire thing, that you become partially Jewish. Again, like what we said earlier, this only makes sense in the Ramban's world, that Mila and Tevila are both components to make you Jewish. So I can say, if you have one without the other, I'm Jewish a little bit. Now, it seems to me, though, the Rashba can't really mean this. There's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, if you have a Ger Shemovel Otaval, if you have this fellow in the interim period, he had circumcision, not yet went to the mikvah, and then he touches wine. Is the wine kosher or non-kosher? So Tosfos in Avodah Zarah and Samach Dal Amud Beis, we learned this Tosfos in the Gemara here a few weeks ago, Tosfos says that he thinks the wine is kosher. But the other Rishon disagrees with Tosfos. The Rashba disagrees with Tosfos, and Rashba says the wine is non-kosher. Washba! Wine not kosher? What's going on? Rashba, you say you're already a shtickle Jewish. How can the wine not be kosher? Right? That don't make no sense. So it seems to me that the Rashba doesn't really mean it. That Rashba in Yevamos and Ayin Aleph is only speaking within the opinion of Rabbi Akiva there in Yevamos Ayin Aleph about a ger shemov lo tova in terms of Karban Pesach. He's not speaking lahalacha. There is another question, just to go very quickly. Are you allowed to be Mechal al Shabbos for a ger shemov lo tova? Now, again, we are not going to have the full conversation about whether you should be Mechal al Shabbos if there is a complete non-Jew who falls down ill on Shabbos. The answer, practically speaking, is yes. You're Mechal al Shabbos to save non-Jews today. Why that is true is probably because of some sort of Eva, because technically, as a matter of halacha, we shouldn't violate Shabbos for people who do not keep Shabbos. But we do so because of, honestly, if this makes it to the front page of the New York Times, Afka Hakta Tzaris. That's why we do it. The story is told that about Shaul Lieberman used to walk home on Shabbos from the Jewish Theological Seminary with a professor from Union Theological College across the street. And the professor says to him, "Professor Lieberman, if I would fall down now and you'd have to violate Shabbos to keep me alive, would you do so?" So Professor Lieberman said, "Yes, I would." He said, "Professor Lieberman, are you saying that as a matter of principle, or are you saying it only mishum eva, only because you're, like, worried?" So Professor Lieberman said, "I'm saying it as a matter of principle." And then, right, apparently Professor Lieberman got home and told someone, "Das eichet habich gesagt mishum eva," which means... I heard that story from David Berger. But the fact is, but practically speaking, we are Mechal Shabbos, obviously, for non-Jews. But now, technical halacha, assuming that we're not Mechal Shabbos for a non-Jew, what about a ger shemov lo tova? You're Mechal Shabbos to save the life of this guy. So there's a huge literature about this in Poskim. And the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva in Chelak Yud Siman Chotei Os Beis, but the Tzitz Eliezer goes through this issue in detail. And he quotes a shach in Yerideya who quotes a tashbeit, that the shach writes that we don't do milah, l'shem geiros, on Thursday or Friday, because the halacha is within the first 3 days of milah, you might have to be mechal Shabbos for the person because they're going to be in pain. Right? By he, by yom hashlishi, by yosam koavim, by Shimon and Levi, no one to attack the town of Shem. Third day of milah, whether that means that the third day is the worst, or whether that means that the third day is just after 2 bad days already, a third bad day, you're pulling your hair out, whatever, however we understand that pasuk, but we don't do milah l'shem geiros, says the Tashbeis, on Thursday or Friday, because we're worried you're going to be mechal Shabbos for the guy. Hold it! Whoa, mechal Shabbos! 1 second, the guy's not Jewish, how can you be mechal Shabbos for him? The answer is, it could be that you are mechal Shabbos for a ger shemov lo tova. Now this might be just the flip side of what we've discussed until now. Because the Gemara in Yoma on Daf Pei He says, how do I know that Mechal Shabbos? How do I know that Mechal Shabbos to save a life? So there's a number of reasons given in the Gemara. The two famous reasons are Chalil of Shabbos Achas Kedesh Yishmer Shabbos Asharvei, that we desecrate one Shabbos to save many. Right? It's called making a calculation. Okay, dude. Right? Violate it one time, you can have 100 good ones after. Tachlis, invest. Right? Break Shabbos once and you get 100 after. That's one approach in the Gemara. The famous approach in the Gemara, the approach that stands for halacha, is a bunch of v'chai v'hem v'loshi yamas v'hem, that we keep, we do Torah and mitzvahs that we should live. We shouldn't die from Torah and mitzvahs. Pekuach nefesh overrides everything. Zok the Gemara, that all the other reasons besides v'chai v'hem have questions. The reason of v'chai v'hem doesn't have any questions. One of the questions that's asked on all the other reasons is Ashkan safek, Ashkan vadei safek minolan. How do you know that even mechal Shabbos in the case of a safek pekuach nefesh, when it might not work? Okay, fine. That's what the Gemara says. Now, if I plug in everything that we've done until now, what emerges is a very interesting thing. I could say that a ger shemov lo tova is not yet included in the halachos of v'chai v'hem. V'chai v'hem is a halacha that was formulated for Jews. The Jewish people have to do mitzvahs to live. That halacha of v'chai v'hem isn't formulated for goyim. But chalil olam Shabbos achas kedesh yishmer Shabbos asharvei, the investment that I could make, right? That, right? So that would apply to this ger shemov lo tova, and that could be why, as a matter of halacha, many poskim say that you can be mechal Shabbos. The Tashbeis says you can be mechal Shabbos ger shemov lo tova. In terms of teaching Torah, although the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that there's a prohibition of teaching Torah to non-Jews, but the fact is, once someone enters the time period that they want to become Jewish, so then we teach them Torah, right? That is a similar idea to what we were saying before from the Tosis Yeshanim and Yevamis, and from the Medrash, that once you want to enter, we're allowed to teach you Torah. The Maharsha clearly writes that in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara tells us about the Ger who came from Hillel and says, teach me all of Torah. So Hillel and Shammai have like a disagreement about how you go about doing this. Well, teach Torah. Yeah. It was a guy. How can you teach Torah? Zach the Maharsha, no, you want to become Jewish, you're allowed to teach your Torah. Right? Rabbi Kiva Eger has a tshuva where he points out that although the Maharsha says it's Tosis and Yevamis on Chavdal, it has a different approach, but it tells you you're not allowed to teach Torah until someone's actually Jewish. The Minchas Aluzer,
what's the rationale?
The rationale is, and there's an issue of teaching Torah to Goyim. You're a Goy, a Goy, a Goy. Nothing to talk about.
Aren't we supposed to be a light to the nations, and is not Torah supposed to be?
So, the Maariv Chiyus has a famous tshuva where he writes that there's a difference between the written Torah and the oral Torah. When we speak about the idea of being a light unto nations, that Judaism is a religion that's supposed to share the values that we have, that's Torah Shebiksav. Torah Shebiksav is intended for the entire world. But Torah Shebaal Peh, maybe precisely the reason why Torah Shebaal Peh is Baal Peh, is because it is orally transmitted. There's certain stuff, top secret, we don't want everyone to know. You're not part of the team. If you're not part of the team, we're not going to tell you. Right? That's basically what Torah Shebaal Peh is. It wasn't even on tape. Well, maybe it was. I don't know how good the tape is. But the fact is, the Maharsha says that once you decide to become Jewish, we teach you Torah. According to Rabbi Kiva Eger, based on that Tosis, we don't teach you Torah at all until you're actually Jewish. The Minchas Aluzer has a tshuva. He says if you try to convert somebody, the way Rabbi Kiva Eger, based on the Tosis, says to convert them, that you can't teach them any Torah until they're actually Jewish.
How are they going to get
you? So you are in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol.
Oh, boy.
Right? In other words, you are causing these people to stumble big time. No? So,
I teach a goy, Torah Shebaal Peh, I am Tachas Ayin. So I have to teach him the pshat.
So most assume that what Torah Shebaal Peh means, Torah Shebaal Peh, the way it is understood by anything that's out there and is accessible, you're probably allowed to teach Torah to Goyim. Again, the issue of teaching Torah to Goyim, I should point out a few things. There is a tshuva, the Be'er Sheva. The Be'er Sheva points out that the Rambam and the Monei HaMitzvos never quote this issue. Although it's in the Gemara, it's not found in the Rambam. Interesting point. Next point is, there's a great tshuva written by the Rabbi Teitz. Rabbi Teitz used to have a radio program, the Daf HaShavua, in Yiddish. So some guy, an idiot, Shein Kamoho, decides to write to the Hapardes, Rabbi Teitz, you're in violation of teaching Torah to Goyim because you're teaching on the radio. Now he's teaching in Yiddish on the radio. Like, who exactly? Right. There used to be a store called Tripler's Hats. Remember Tripler? What was it called? There's an old hat store like in the 50s, and there was an old African American fellow who knew every Yiddish song. The guy was a classic. I went there to get my bar mitzvah hat. I think it's called True. I have to ask my father what the store is called. A great store. So there are some people who know Yiddish, but it's not so common. So Rabbi Teitz actually wrote a tshuva in the Haparadis, a response to this fellow, where he says, come on, there's no way of teaching Torah to Goyim. Any Torah that's like really accessible. What am I teaching? I'm reading Gemara. But anything that's accessible and people can obtain on their own, that the issue of teaching Torah to Goyim might be only like on the secret type of stuff. The Sri D.H. Simonway has a tshuva. He taught Torah in the University of Berlin, no? Right? He taught a Talmud class in the University of Berlin. Sri D.H. has a tshuva about this. You know, there's a whole literature.
That's only because it's now written down. So okay. It's out there, so anybody can go pick it up. And if they don't know Hebrew or Aramaic,
You can get Art Scroll in French or Spanish even.
Yeah. But even so, they translated the Torah into Greek. It was darkness for 3 days.
Right, so that's today.
Yeah.
So this is something I have to think. I've been thinking about this for a while. We have, like, you know, there's the observance of Asara B'Tavis because of translation of the Torah. I have to admit, all the answers I've heard so far don't satisfy me. Because ultimately, I think we're very happy with the translation of the Torah. It led to spreading so much value. I've been thinking about this all day today. I might speak about this between Mincha and Maariv tomorrow if I come with a satisfactory answer. But as of now, the kasha bothers me much more. The kasha still bothers me. Okay, so just to review what we did tonight, Gershom of Lo Tovel, there was this famous episode in Yerushalayim. The fact is that Gershom of Lo Tovel does keep Shabbos. Why is that true? So there are three possibilities. Either it's a special halacha in Shabbos, right? But you're a complete non-Jew. Or we would say that once you decide to become Jewish, you're allowed to keep Shabbos. That's what the Tosfos Yeshanim and Yevamos has, etc. Alternatively, we could say that maybe you are partially Jewish from the Mila. That's another possibility. There's a lot of possibilities out there. The fact is that most assume against Rabbi Asher Lemel that Gershom of Lo Tovel should not violate Shabbos. Certainly don't violate Shabbos by writing letters. If you want to violate Shabbos, where it sits us. Don't talk to the Erev. That's how you should violate Shabbos. But again, I thank you for listening. And Yashin Kayach, enjoy your... Yeah. Bye, yeah.
Rabbi, you said that there was an entire body of responses built on discussing these particularities, and yet why would so much effort be spent on that for something that is
so rare?
Rare and also
so I think so it is.
Why
it's,
did they just circumvent the order?
What?
Why did they just circumvent the order?
Do tefillah beforehand?
Yes.
Well, we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, but you have to do mila first. We're passing against the Ramban. I'll say it like this. A lot of Torah is based on not what comes up practically, but based on what is interesting and what can...
Where the borderlines are.
Yeah. I mean, the liminal issues, the liminality of Judaism, right? Gershom of Lo Tovel is part of the liminality of Judaism, if you want to use like the technical... academic term. Okay.
Well, part of one line is that you said that who's the Jews in Egypt? It says, the Divachori Yisroel. So you see that they were Jews. I mean, people would say that they weren't Jews until they...
Our full Judaism only set in when we received the Torah, no?
That's Judaism. There's plenty of people...
Again, maybe we'll talk about some of these issues later on. Maybe we'll give a share about that. I thank you for asking. Any other questions I'm happy to take, but I feel like if we just continue standing up here, people who want to leave won't leave. So let's take some questions. Thank you for coming.